When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench. What a game last night at the Benz in Atlanta as the Falcons beat the Buccaneers in an incredible fashion. 36-30 in overtime. How about Kirk Cousins? This guy got it done in the biggest way possible. How about a 45-yard tutty to Hodge on the catch and scamper? The guy goes right past everybody up the gut and wins the game in overtime for Atlanta. How about this guy, Cousins? 42 of 58 passes, 509 yards, 4 tutties. He goes into the NFL record books. You got to look at this. Hodges' unbelievable catch and run tutty was the 6th most improbable TD reception of the season with a 0.03% probability. I mean, no chance at all, right? Except that it happened. Cousins is the first player in NFL history to post a 450-yard passing game for 3 different teams, Washington, Minnesota, and now Atlanta. Only 2 quarterbacks in history have won a game after attempting at least 58 passes for 460-plus passing yards with a completion rate of 68% or higher. Cousins last night and Brady in the Super Bowl when he came back against, guess who, Atlanta. The Falcons' chances of winning bottomed out at 4.7% after Cousins threw a 4th down pick to give the Bucs the ball at the Falcons 28 with a minute 44 left to play. Atlanta had the same thing happen against Philly in Week 2, overcoming chances as low as 1%. How about 11 seconds? That's what they needed to execute a 14-yard passing play, race to the line, spike the ball with 1 second left in the 4th quarter to kick the game-tying field goal and force overtime. 13th player in NFL history to record at least 500 passing yards and 4 tutties in a single game. At 36, he tied Y.A. Tittle in 62 and Breeze in 2015 as the oldest quarterbacks with a 450-yard 4 tutty performance. 509, his yardage against the Bucs not only set a career single game record, but also a new Falcons record and the most by any quarterback in the 24 season. All of his yards in the game came from passes within the pocket. The most in a game in the next-gen stats era since 2016. And 550, the Falcons' total yardage on offense is the most the Bucs have allowed in a regular season game since Todd Bowles started running the defense in 2019. What a crazy game. A huge win for the Falcons. All right, let's look at what happened last night in college football. 2 horrible games, but both teams that were favored covered. Texas State blew out Troy 38-17. They covered the number. And in the nightcap, Sam Houston covered. They were laying 10.5. I think in that first game, Texas State was laying 13.5. Sam Houston was laying 10.5 against UTEP on the road, and they won 41-21. So tonight on a pain-free Friday, there's 2 good games. They're both at 9 o'clock. The first one's on Fox, and it's Michigan State at number 6, Oregon at Outson Stadium in Eugene. It's going to be 63, cool and cloudy. Oregon laying 23.5. The Ducks are 4-0, 1-0 in the Big Ten. Michigan State's 3-2 and 1-1 in conference play. Also at 9, Syracuse. They're 3-1 at number 25, UNLV. The Rebels, 4-0, ranked for the first time ever. This one's in Sin City, the Megadaha, beautiful downtown Las Vegas, baby. Rebs laying 6.5 in that one. You have got to be kidding me. Did you see the Mets last night stun the Brewers? 4-2 with a huge Pete Alonso go-ahead three-run shot off of all-star closer Devin Williams in the 9th inning, no less. And the Mets beat the Brewers 4-2 to advance to the divisional series against the Phillies. So they advanced in the playoffs for the first time since winning the 2015 National League pennant. They move on to the Vision Series, as I mentioned, the best of five beginning Saturday and Sunday in Philadelphia against the NL East champion Phillies at the bank. It'll be the first postseason meeting between these rivals. And Alonso said, "This has been unreal. What a ride. I'm just excited to keep this team alive." How about this? He's the first major leaguer to hit a go-ahead homer when his team was trailing in the 9th inning or later of a winner-take-all postseason game, according to OptiStats. Alonso said it's something he practiced as a kid in the backyard. The Brewers, making their 6th playoff appearance in 7 years, still haven't won a postseason series since reaching Game 7 of the 18 NLCS. Pat Murphy said, "I love this team. I love them. I'll never be able to duplicate 24. It didn't end the way we wanted to. It ended tragically, actually." You got that right, Skipper. 12 straight Mets had been retired when they entered the 9th against Williams, the 2-time NL reliever of the year, who had earned the save Wednesday in Game 2's win by the Brewers. He said, "I'm not going to make excuses. I didn't execute the way I needed to. They got the job done, and I didn't." Lindor opened the inning by working an 8-pitch walk. Veneno struck out. Then Nimmo singled sharply on an 0-2 pitch to put runners on the corners. Alonso said, "I know Devin has great stuff. I've seen him pitch a ton. We were teammates in the WBC. It's a tough at bat." After getting ahead 3-1, he drove an 86-mile-an-hour change over the opposite field, right field wall. Unbelievable. He did the chef's kiss, rounding first. And he'll be a huge free agent after the World Series. You know that much. Cohen has never committed to giving him the money. Lindor said Alonso was one swing away from people going crazy about him. And that's what happened. And Winker was hit by a pitch with 2 outs, stole second, scored an insurance run on a Marte single to right. That made it 4-2. That's how it ended. The rally continued their unbelievable season. They were 22-33 in late May, but had the best record in baseball the rest of the regular season. They didn't get a playoff bid until they scored all those runs in the final 2 innings of the 8-7 comeback win over the Braves on Monday in the opening game of the doubleheader in Hot Town. New York, the first team to clinch a postseason spot and a playoff series by winning both games after trailing in the 9th inning or later. Nimmo said, "With what's transpired, it seems only fitting. We seemed down and out at the beginning of the season. We were written off. Obviously, it was compounded in April and May. Then we went on this unbelievable run of being the best team in baseball for the next 4 months, having the team meeting, pulling ourselves up." And that's kind of how this game was. This game, we were down and out for 8 innings. And we just said, "You know what? We're going to keep shooting our shots until the end. And we're going to see what happens." Unbelievable. Frelick led off the bottom of the 9th with a single, but Ortiz struck out. And Terang hit into a double play to end the series. And it was party time for the Mets. Man, the baseball in October is kick-ass, isn't it? Let's take a look now at what's going to happen in terms of Sunday's pain day in the NFL. All right, the 1 o'clock games on Fox, Dolphins and Pats at Gillette in Foxborough. New England's laying 1. Both teams are 1-3. Remember, 9:30 in London. I forgot about the early breakfast at Tiffany's. Jets and Vikings across the pond at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London, Minnesota, 4-0. They're laying 2.5. The Jets are 2-2. Also at 1 on Fox, Panthers and Bears at Soldier Field in Chicago. Bears are 2-2. Panthers are 1-3. Chicago's laying 4. 1 o'clock, Ravens and Bengals in the jungle in the Queen City. Baltimore's laying 2.5 there. Browns and Commanders at 1 on Fox. Washington laying 3 at Landover at the dump. 1 o'clock, Colts, Jags in Jacksonville. Jags laying 3. Colts are 2-2. Jags are 0-4. 1 o'clock, Bills, Texans at NRG in H-Town. Bills are laying 1. Both teams are 3-1. 4:05, Raiders, Broncos in the Mile High City. Denver laying 2.5. Broncos and Raiders are both 2-2. 4:05, Cards and Niners. And that one's at Levi's in Santa Clara. San Francisco laying 7.5. Cards are 1-3. Niners are 2-2. 4.25. You got Packers, Rams, and SoFi. La 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 Lipstick City. Rams are 1-3. Packers are 2-2. Green Bay's laying 3 on the road. 4.25. Giants and Seahawks at Lumen Field in the Pacific Northwest in Seattle. Seahawks are 3-1. Giants are 1-3. Seattle's laying 6.5. The Sunday night game, of course, is the Pittsburgh Steelers hosting the Cowboys in the Steel City. Pittsburgh laying 2.5. Steelers are 3-1. Cowboys are 2-2. 8:20 on NBC on Sunday night. And then Monday night, you got the Saints and Chiefs at Arrowhead in KC. Kansas City laying 5.5. Chiefs are 4-0. Saints are 2-2. A kick-ass weekend of football has already started with the Falcons' overtime win. Sunday, pain day all day, including a game in London for breakfast, and then capped off by Cowboys and Steelers in Pittsburgh, and then the Monday nighter, Saints in Kansas City. It should be kick-ass. It's Pharrell on the Bench.